Do note that the views expressed in Thinking It Through do not necessarily represent the views of Good News Community Radio. The views expressed in Thinking It Through are meant to serve as a challenge to your beliefs, whatever they may be, and to see how the Christian worldview stands in light of other worldviews.
Welcome back to Thinking It Through, and we are ending this week with the conclusion to the chat by the fireside, which was a relevant study of the Book of Revelation with Dr. Gregory Donation, resident minister at Juvenile Mission, as he responded to questions on the Book of Revelation. Here's Dr. Donation in part 40 of Understanding the Times.
When it comes to the time-space continuum compared to eternity, there is actually no analogy that we have. We use the matchstick, and I want to explain the matchstick like this because people may not have tuned in previously. Open your hand. You have the palm of your hand facing up. You're looking at the palm of your hand. Now you take a matchstick and you put the matchstick, which is about an inch long, on the palm of your hand. You, looking down on that matchstick, can see the start of the matchstick. You can even see the sulfurous part on the end, which actually lights up. You see the whole matchstick as one matchstick there. But if you were a molecule within that matchstick, the wood molecule, carbon molecule, for example, you would not know where you are in that particular place because you're surrounded by other molecules around you. You're part of this structure, the fabric of this thing. Now, if that molecule could be extracted from that match and put to one side, it will now not be part of the match anymore, but it will be part of what is on your hand. So what is in your hand, we can call that eternity, because it's the everlasting now, ever present. When you look at the match, the bottom side, the opposite to the head, That would be the beginning of creation. That's when God created the heavens and the earth. Then time unfolds, yesterday, today, forever, along that line of the match until you come to the head of the match, which is the conclusion of time. That's where it comes to an end. That's when it's all over. So those who leave the match or the time continuum at the beginning and they enter out of the match into this hand, will enter into the hand at the same point, I don't use the word time, the same point that the people who are at the head leave the match and come into the hand. Now they're all in the hand. The moment they leave the match, they are in the hand. To say they're now in eternity. And what happens in eternity is not restricted to yesterday, today, or tomorrow. That's annihilated. It's come to an end, doesn't it? For us to conceptualize that is practically impossible. That's why the Bible says what the ear hasn't heard, what the eye hasn't seen, what has not come up in the mind of man, that is what God has prepared for those who love him.
It's heavy.
It is. Maybe I can compare it. You know, when Charles Darwin first saw the amoeba, the single cell, he thought it's the most simple form of life. Why? Because he did not have an electron microscope. He didn't know that there was intense, incredible complexity in one single cell. He had no idea at all. I mean, when we went to school, our first biology class, we were told the most simple form of life is a cell. Because it's got a nucleus and that's all that there is to it. I think if Darwin had to get back from the dead and see what we've discovered now, he would not ever have come up with his book, The Origin of Species, you know, his book on evolution. Now it's like that. We are living in the world at this particular point in time. The time-space continuum is like that single cell. We think it's very simple, the simplest form of life. But if we had the necessary tools to be able to fully grasp eternity, we'll be shocked and say, wow, is that what it is like?
Now, branching off a little bit, one of the personal questions that I had, especially, I guess you could tie it back to Genesis 1 when God created everything. Now, I know that we don't know everything. I mean, what little we know about the reality that we're living in, let alone eternity. As far as we know, what's your view on eternity in terms of creation? Did God create eternity? Is it just his presence? What is eternity in that context?
Yeah, eternity is the condition. You know, there's not really a word to express this, but it's the situation, the condition, the circumstances in which God existed from all eternity. So God doesn't have a beginning.
Right.
He has no end. And even if I use the word space, it isn't correct, because time, space, continuum is a created thing. So God dwelled in eternity, he dwells in eternity, and eternity is a word that we coined to be able to somehow just label the existence of God. So his existence entails eternity. And what that is like, we'll have to wait and find out. He didn't create it, so eternity is not a creation of God. It's conditional to the existence of God.
Ah, okay. So you mean it's more like sort of like a consequence of his existence?
It is his existence.
Oh, it is his.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, that makes more sense. Okay. Coming back to that question that the listener asked, in what way are believers judged? She also asked, what is the judgment of unbelievers? So will it be the same, the way the believers will be judged?
Yes, all will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. The books will be opened. Everything that we've ever done will be recorded there. The difference between us and the unbeliever is that we have surrendered our lives to Christ. We have trusted him for our salvation. His blood has erased our record, because we have repented, we've asked for forgiveness, and the gospel makes it very clear that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So for the believer, there is no fear. Provided, of course, they've confessed their sin, they have truly repented, they have really surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus. So the judgment seat for the Christian holds no threat or fear. And one can compare it to what happened in Noah's day when the flood came. All those who were in the stupor of their sinful condition should have been gripped with fear because of this flood that was coming. They weren't, because they were mesmerized by the deceitfulness of their own hearts. So it was like they couldn't believe this was going to happen. So they were like drugged, you could say, by sin. Noah knew what the consequences of this would be. He built the ark, but they got onto the ark, and the ark was the source of their salvation. No matter how much the judgment fell, the ark just went higher and higher and higher. So there was no threat in the judgment. There was no fear contained in the judgment. There was this absolute certainty that no matter how much the judgment is poured out, the ark just rises above that. It just goes higher and higher and higher. The more the judgment comes, the more intense it is, the greater is the salvation. It's a good analogy to describe the outcome for the believer when he has to appear in judgment.
It reminds me of that film, Paul, the Apostle of Christ. And one of the lines there that Paul says, where sin abounds, grace abounds more.
Yeah.
So it reminds me of that.
Yeah, indeed, indeed.
And also she asks, will Satan and his demons and the fallen angels, will they also stand in judgment as well?
Very good question. We must remember that the lake of fire, which is hell, another description of hell, was never, ever intended for people. It was intended for the devil and his demons. So you'll also see that in the book of Revelation, they are the ones who are thrown into the lake of fire. That was their judgment. That was how God was going to deal with these entities that corrupted the human race. Now, the reason why people also end up in the lake of fire is because it was in their heart to follow the devil. So basically, the attitude was, since you chose to follow the devil, we have to follow him consistently and suffer the consequences of your decision. He's thrown into hell, so you're going to join him there because you wanted to follow him. So they end up in hell basically because that's what they wanted. They wanted to be with the devil. They wanted to serve the devil. They wanted to honor him. They wanted to follow his way. So follow him all the way, consistently, right to where he's going. He's going to the lake of fire, so you're going to end up in the lake of fire. That's your judgment.
The last question that she had was, how does the expectation of judgment outlined in the book of Revelation help us to live our lives now?
Well, you know, I think one of the evangelists, I can't remember whether it was Moody or Finney or Spurgeon, but one of them said that what they would like to have done is to dangle people over the precipice, the chasm, the cliff where hell, the lake of fire is below. And if people became aware of the reality, they would repent, make no mistake. If you actually saw hell for what it really is, you would not want to go there. Hmm. We've heard some rock musicians and other modern day musicians express their desire to want to go to hell. They don't mind going there. They want to go there. That's because of in the folly and stupidity of their thinking, they think it's going to be a fun place. They think it's going to be enjoyable. I think if they end up there, they'll sing a different song. There'll be a different kind of music that will come from them. So when we read about hell, the lake of fire, what it entails, then it is a wake-up call. It's a shocking thing to take cognizance of it. And it should motivate you to say, well, that's one place I don't want to go. Therefore, I want to live in such a way that I bring glory to my Lord and my Savior. It will affect my life, my lifestyle, because I know it's sin, because of sin that people end up in hell. So I can't work for my salvation, but I can't get to heaven without my good works. So I would want to glorify God and show him how grateful I am for his work of salvation, his work of redeeming me by dying on the cross for me. So I want to present to him a life that is worthy of what he had done for me.
So is the lake of fire, because it says hell and death will be thrown into the lake of fire. So is the lake of fire, is it hell or is it like another aspect of hell, or how does that work?
Keep in mind that the book of Revelation is a drama put on stage, and the decor that's put out there is to help us to get a clear impression of what God intends to do. So you will find that the way that it's depicted is to help us to see the horror of it. It's that it doesn't really want to categorize things at all. It wants to tell you that there is a judgment, there is a punishment because of sin. It's called the lake of fire. That will be hell itself. It's not compartmentalized. It wasn't intended to be, not in the book of Revelation at least. It was to bring across this drama which portrays it to make sure there is a judgment coming. It's the lake of fire that is hell. Well, folks, thank you for joining us for the Fireside Chat. It was so nice to have you as company, and I'm sure that God may have shed light on the book of Revelation in our discussion. So hope to see you again sometime in the future. God bless.
That was Dr. Gregory Donation in the conclusion to Understanding the Times, a relevant study of the book of Revelation. To listen to Thinking It Through again, go to Iona FM and search for Thinking It Through, or download the free Good News Community Radio 93.6 FM app from the app stores and go to the podcast section. Join us again next week for more thought-provoking programs only on Thinking It Through 93.6 FM.
If you have any feedback or queries regarding Thinking It Through, please email it to thinkingitthrough@gncr.org.za. You can find the live stream, GNCR mission statements, and more at gncr.org.za.